So then my question tonight would be this. How many of you came tonight to grow in the grace and knowledge? Let me see your hand. Did you come for that purpose? All right. That's good. If you didn't come for that purpose, then you'd be better that you stay home, because you're only going to learn something and be more chargeable and shorten your days because of lack of performance. And you're only going to hinder the others that have come to grow and to learn the things of God. Reading in chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles, we'll read together. Chapter 3, the first verse, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. And I think the word's pronounced Salem. The A is emphasized in it. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He or says, Bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. And speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. All right. It says over here in the fourth chapter, Jesus says to the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's the 13th verse of the fourth chapter. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. All right, I just wanted to say a few things here, just tie one or two thoughts together. First of all, if you'll notice, Jesus said there was a time coming when they would not worship in a mountain. You know, they got together, they worshiped in mountains, and they'd have feasts and whatever. Pretty much like our folks of today with their camp meetings and whatever. But he said that really wasn't worship unless it was anointed of God and the Spirit of God was there in the midst, unless they were gathered together in his name. Same way today. Many people may gather together in a meeting, whether it's Brother Pike, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, whether it's the Pope, whoever. But if the name isn't there, if they haven't gathered together in the name of the Son of God, then it doesn't matter about the man's reputation, whether it be Brother Pike or Brother Fowell or Brother Humbard or whoever it might be, Brother Osborne. If the Lord Jesus' name isn't emphasized and raised up as a horn of salvation, then the Spirit isn't there and they're not worshiping God, they're just having a gathering. And the Lord said in the Old Testament, I'm tired of your solemn assemblies. I'm tired of your fasting. I'm tired of all the things you do. He said, I chose you for one purpose, that is to make a name for myself. So he magnified his name. Salvation is in the name. He brought the name of the Heavenly Father, saying, Father, I come in your name. If another had come in his own name, Jesus said, him you would have received. I come in my Father's name and you don't receive me. But Jesus came in his Father's name to be the atonement for our sins, that salvation could come to us through the name of Jesus. So it doesn't matter what you preach, what you practice, what church you belong to, how long you've been in religion. It absolutely has nothing to do with it. It's not worth anything to you. One thing is valuable to you, and that is the name. Jesus says that ye are to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in my name. So it is the name beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth or the world. Salvation shall be preached in the name of Jesus, or remission of sin shall be preached in the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is given for remission of sin, and there is none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved except the name of Jesus. This is why Peter on the day of Pentecost commanded them to repent, every one of you. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it is unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So then, beginning in Jerusalem, it was to be taught in his name, that God, who is the heavenly Spirit, might come in his name. So we see here it says, woman, neither at Jerusalem nor in the mountain. So then we're fixing to go over to Jerusalem. You and I are fixing to go over to Jerusalem. But that doesn't mean we're going to find God over in Jerusalem as that being a place to worship. Going to Jerusalem doesn't mean anything. Just because there's a lot of Jews in Jerusalem, that don't mean God's over there. And just because there's people from all over the world coming into Jerusalem, that don't mean a thing. Just because it's called the Holy Land, that don't mean a thing. Going to Jerusalem don't mean a thing when it comes to salvation. Going over there because the Lord Jesus died there at Calvary, or Golgotha is there where the blood was spilled, or the tomb, the entombment, or as to the resurrection, it doesn't mean one thing as to salvation or being special or being any place where God will meet with you, or it doesn't mean any special thing is for you to go there when it pertains to your salvation. Not one thing. So the Jews is no more than anybody else. The Holy Land is no more than anything else. When it comes to salvation, it's just another piece of ground. It's just another rocky area. Just another place that God made in the world. It's a delightful thing to be able to go there and see where all these things transpired, as to Samson slaying the lion, the resurrection, Abraham, and many other things. Mary and the birth of our Lord. It's a wonderful place to go. But we don't want to get things misconstrued. We want to remember that salvation is in the name. And wherever the name goes, salvation goes. And whoever receives the name or calls upon the name, the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter if it's Jew or Gentile or whatever. The Bible said that God is no respect of person. Whosoever, let whosoever will come and freely partake. So then, God is no respect of person. Peter, when he went down to open the doors to the Gentile, being a Jew, having got mixed up as to what God was doing, as to being a respected person, Peter says, I perceive that God is no respected person. In any nation where they fear God, then God will receive them, and they are received of God. Because God is no respect of person. Because the Holy Ghost was poured out on them there at Cornelius' house, and he heard them speak with tongues. So then we see a wonderful thing in the salvation of God, and how beautiful he hath made it, so that every person can, in their own private bedroom or out in the field or wherever they're at, there's been men that's been plowing behind the plow stock. And all of a sudden, God would move, and they would call upon the name of Jesus and find salvation. You don't have to be in a church. Don't ever let anybody confuse you as to say that you've got to be in a church. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be listening to a preacher. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in a certain organization. You don't have to be affiliated with certain people. Just wherever you're at, if you call upon the name of Jesus, as long as you've heard about the name of Jesus and know about the name of Jesus, and you call upon the name of Jesus with all godliness and sincerity, you shall be saved. That's the Bible. Now, it is a true fact that when you call upon the name of Jesus, that you've got to remember that God's Spirit is there to come upon you, and God's Spirit is there to enter into you, and you can receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to. You don't have to wait to get the Holy Ghost. You can receive the Holy Ghost right there, which is the Spirit of Christ. By calling upon the name of Jesus, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Whether you've been baptized in Jesus' name or not, you can still receive the Holy Ghost right there where you are. I received the Holy Ghost before I was ever baptized in Jesus' name. But you've got to remember one thing, and that is that when you receive the Holy Ghost, He will guide you into all truth and into all righteousness. And as it was with the people down at Cornelius' house, though they'd received the Holy Ghost, Peter said, "Here is water. Who's going to forbid that they should not be baptized here, or that we should not baptize them? Who's going to tell me that I should not baptize them when water is here?" So he told them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So they had received the Holy Ghost and they were baptized in the name of Jesus. People who have never received the Holy Ghost, like at the upper coast of Ephesus, the 19th chapter of Acts, when Paul said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they said, "No." He said, "Well, under what baptism was you baptized?" He rebaptized them. They received the Holy Ghost. He laid hands on them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. So then, whether it's before baptism or after baptism, you can receive the Spirit of Christ. You can receive the Holy Ghost. But if you receive the Holy Ghost, you will go on to the truth of God. You will go on into all the truths of God. Yes. So then, if you don't go on into all the truths of God, it is a positive proof that though you called upon the name of Jesus, you did not get saved and you did not receive the Holy Ghost. And I say this once again, the Bible said that a man speaks from his lips, but what he saith cometh from his heart. So then he speaks from his heart. But it is a true fact that you or I, we can confess salvation, and we can say that we've got the Holy Ghost and that we are Christians. But even though we say that we've got the Holy Ghost and we say that we are Christians, and even though that comes from our heart, we can be lying. We can be lying. We can still be testifying concerning those things and lying. And it can come from our heart. But at the same time, another individual might come along and tell you that they're saved, that they've been sanctified of God, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and they can be telling you the truth, still coming from their heart. But what a man speaketh cometh from his heart. So, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night, being afraid of the Jews, because he was afraid that they would put him out of the synagogue. Still people like that today. You know, Church of God people, Assembly of God people, Baptist people, a lot of times they withdraw from affiliation with Jesus' name people because they're so afraid. They'll say, "You're Jesus only." They'll put them out of the synagogue. They'll disfellowship. They'll say, "We don't want that Jesus only over here," you know. Nevertheless, the Bible said when they stood on the mountain there, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, when Moses and Elijah left, they said no one was left but Jesus only. So you ought to be careful how you use the terms Jesus only. That's Bible. Jesus only, that's Bible. Reading the Bible. You ought to be careful how you say that. They might mean well in what they're saying. They're saying, you know, "I believe in a Father. I believe in a Son. I believe in a Holy Ghost. And you don't believe in that. So I'm not going to have any fellowship with you." But you need to be careful how you use terms. A lot of times, being ignorant of things, you use terms and that you ought not use. And the Bible said you walk in places where angels would fear to tread. So then, the Bible said fools do that. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." And Nicodemus said, "How can I do that?" He said, "I'm an old man. How can I be born again?" He said, "You got to be born again, Nicodemus. You got to be born again." He said, "Unless you're born of the water, and unless you're born of the Spirit, then ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God." No, not in any wise. You won't enter in. Now, I know that here, They're speaking of a natural birth, and they're speaking of a spiritual birth. And the natural birth is likened unto a water birth, where the spirit birth is spoken of as the spiritual born-again experience. See, and so he goes on to say, Nicodemus, that which is born to flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, because Nicodemus is saying, how can I be born again? The subject is about being born. So how can I be born again? So he says, listen, Nicodemus, there is a fleshly birth, there is a spiritual birth, and that which is born to the flesh is flesh, and that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. He said, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. He said, if you don't be born of the water and of the Spirit, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. So then again, we find Jesus over here, and he's talking. And Jesus says now to those that he was preaching to, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I want you to notice this for just a few minutes. I talk to you about these things so that people don't mislead you, and that so that you're not carried about by every wind of doctrine. The Bible says it's a good thing for the heart to be established, and that in the present day truth. So then, we have people of today, we have organizations of today, great organizations that's got millions of people. And in the organizations of today, they say, well, baptism isn't necessary. That's the way they approach it. They say it's not necessary. You don't really have to be baptized. It's not necessary. But you do have to be baptized. And there's a proper way to be baptized. They say, well, it's not necessary for you to be baptized. And let's run across one or two things here. Look at it and see why they say that. They say it's just not necessary. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they overlook the fact that the writer, that God himself, told Paul to go down to the street called Straight and find the man that was due the baptizing. And the man that was to do the baptizing said, Paul, wash away your sins being baptized, calling on the name of Jesus. So then we see that Paul, the apostle, was baptized. But they take Paul's writings and they misconstrue them. And as Peter says, they that are unlearned rash these as others do to their own destruction. So then they say, well, Paul, he's our overseer. And Paul said, God didn't send me to baptize. Which that is true. God did not send him to baptize. Neither did God send me to baptize. I've always had that understanding that I was sent to preach the gospel. Though I baptized people, and so did Paul baptize people. See, they said, well, Paul said God didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. So then that proves that nobody don't have to be baptized. But see, this is what they overlook. It is a true fact that Paul said God did not send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. But he also said, I plant. And Apollos watereth. And God gives the increase. And crops don't grow without water. Amen. He also said this. Paul, whereas they use the terms, Paul said, God sent me to preach the gospel. Paul uses this terms. God sent me to preach the gospel. Well, what did Paul preach? Paul said, he that has been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. That was Paul's gospel. So then he that has been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. And Paul taught that we were to be baptized. He emphasized that we were to be baptized, that this was an entrance into God. And he brought out the natural baptism for the body. He brought out the fire baptism for the soul. And he brought out the angelic or spiritual Holy Ghost baptism for the spirit. So, when they preached, they said, well, the shedding of the blood, Brother Pike. It is the shedding of the blood. I know that. It is the shedding of the blood. There's no remission of sin, I say so often, without the shedding of the blood. But at the same time, the blood having to do with the fire and the purging, God, a consuming fire, he points out to you and I that though remission of sin is by the shedding of blood, yet you are not made heir to that except through the name of Jesus, and that by being baptized as to remission in His name. The water is a grave. You're baptized in the water for the remission of sin, and then your sins are taken away by the blood, in that the blood is applied to your heart through the name of Jesus, and it's through the name of Jesus that you're made heir to it, and the grave is the water. Down into the water you go, which is circumcision, the taking away of the veil of the flesh, leaving the angelic man in the heavenly orders of Christ that cannot be touched, that cannot be spotted in any way. So then Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now they say it's not, you don't have to be baptized neither in water nor by the Holy Ghost to be saved. They say you don't have to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. There are some people that believe. There are some that believe and are filled with the Holy Ghost, and some are just sanctified. But all of this, they say, is salvation. And some will have the Holy Ghost and go to heaven, and some won't have the Holy Ghost and go to heaven. And this is their teachings. But if that is true, they're going to have to back up to one place. If they're going to preach the gospel, if they're going to preach salvation, if they're going to preach the word of God, the Bible said, "He that God sendeth will speak God's word." If they're going to speak God's word, then they're going to have to back up, because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized." So then that means that there's one of those baptisms they're going to have to accept. Either they're going to have to accept baptism in water for remission of sin by the name of Jesus, or they're going to have to accept baptism in the Holy Ghost. One of those baptisms has to be accepted, because God said that he that believeth and is baptized. Another thing is, the Bible said that Jesus is our example. Now, as far as me, you know, they don't accept either one of them, and if they want to accept one of them, that's all right. But as for me, then I'm going to accept both of them. For Jesus said in one place that he was our example, or the Bible refers to him as being our example. So then the same great writer says that Christ Jesus is our example, and we ought to follow in his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. To be therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect, to go on to be perfect. So it said to follow in his steps. For me to follow in his steps, then I have to go down to the river. I have to go down to the water. For he came and was baptized. Jesus came and was baptized. How is it that some polished scholar of today, somebody that's all misconstrued in his mind, somebody that's thinking too highly of himself and not thinking soberly according to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, how can he get up and say that it's not necessary to be baptized in water when God Almighty, that made heaven and earth and all therein, made himself a human body, walked down to a muddy river and let a human being baptize him in that muddy Jordan? How can they do that? How can a man do that? What is he going to look like when he stands before God? And I say this so often. Here's a man, he's a doctor, he's a dentist, he's a professional man, he's a celebrity, he's a president, he's a king. And he stands there before God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he says, "Well, I was a busy man and a polished man. And I'm a man of great standing, you know." And like the man told the prophets, that I can't go down that river. That river's muddy. Why? I'll be talked about. People will say things about me going down to the muddy river. But the prophet said, in essence, there's one thing that you can do. You can rot with your disease. You can rot and then they can smell you. He didn't say it this way, but they can smell you and talk about you. Or you can go down to the river down there and get a little mud on you and clean up. You'll be all right. Now, that's just the way the prophet was. He didn't like the man's pride. He wouldn't even go out there and mess with him. He just sent his servant out there and said, "Go out there and tell him." You know, he could have said, "He's so proud and starchy, I ain't messing with him. Just run out there and tell him. You can be an errand boy, you can be a newsboy. Run out there and tell him." He just offended the fellow. You know, he got upset and said, "Well, don't he know who's here?" "Well, the little fellow just more or less said, well, he don't care who's here. It don't mean nothing to him." So the man thought it over. He went down there. He was baptized. and he washed away his sins. And like I say, the prophet looking down through the telescope of time saw that when Jesus come, he was going down to this muddy river and he was going to be baptized in it. And the virtue was going to have to do with this muddy river. Just like when Elisha went down into the grave, the virtue was in his bones and in his body. And when they threw the man into that grave, then the man that was thrown in was resurrected from the dead. See, so then you couldn't just throw him into any kind of grave and get a resurrection, but in that grave you could. And so then here it is that in this particular river where it was muddy, Jesus went down there to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. He knew that was a muddy river. They wasn't going to choose that for anything. So he went down into that muddy river and he was baptized in that muddy river to let us know that he was our example. And folks, if God Almighty can sit on the throne in the day of judgment and look at Brother Pye and all the polished scholars and say, look, I was your example. I'm God Almighty. And I went down to a muddy river and I was baptized to leave you an example. And then you tell me that you are so important that you don't have to be baptized even in a clean river if you want to get baptized. It's okay. See, so then we see that those that tell us these things are foolish. They're not very wise in what they do. They're not very wise in what they say. What part of the scripture is it that we should leave out? Should I leave out that scripture when I go to teach you? I say, now these are professional men. These are great dignitaries. I mustn't say anything about baptizing. They don't have time to do all that anyway. They're very busy, and besides that, they're too important. God could expect them to do that. You know, so all I'll say to you is you just believe and, you know, go on your way to heaven. Well, the Bible said if you believe, then you are now numbered with the devils because they believe also. You've now made it that far. If you believe, there's one God. So does the devils. You've at least come that far. But folks, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe in the Holy Scriptures, faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. It don't come just by believing. It comes by believing God's Word. And it comes by believing God's Word to the extent that faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And you must believe what God's Word said. And the writer said, the proof of that faith in your heart is the confession unto salvation by your lips or by your deeds, in that you do what you believe. He said, show me your faith without your works. There's no way to do that. You can't show nobody anything that way. He said, but though you can't do that, I'll show you my faith, but it'll be by my works. What I do proves what I believe, for the child is known by his doings. And so then God tells us that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So they've got to accept one of those baptisms, whereas they don't accept any of them. So I accept both of them. I accept the water baptism, first of all, not just because Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. I could say, well, Peter was talking to the Jews. That, of course, they do. But I say that Jesus was my example. I'm commanded to follow in his steps, and his steps led me down to the water to be baptized. I was to be baptized, so I was baptized. See, not only that, but it's like Sister Cook's and Brother James Isaac and some of the others. My steps eventually led me down to the River Jordan, the muddy River Jordan. And I stepped into the same river where Jesus went, and I baptized people there in that river. See, and maybe the same thing on this trip, I don't know. But I'm just saying this. Paul in the 19th chapter of Acts, the same one that they said, Paul said that God didn't send him to baptize but preach the gospel. The same Paul said, how was you baptized? And he rebaptized them in the name of Jesus. And then they received the Holy Ghost. They didn't receive the Holy Ghost until he baptized them in water. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't receive the Holy Ghost. Now, it does not necessarily mean that you have received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. When we speak of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, as to the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, the Bible says concerning Cornelius, the Holy Ghost fell on them while Peter preached the word. And then he used the term, seeing that God has given to them the Holy Ghost as well as he has to us. That is, it is now given to the Gentile people. Peter said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. He says on the day of Pentecost, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And everywhere in the Bible that you find them baptizing, it's in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And as I said, other than those that were baptized in the cloud unto Moses or in the Red Sea, which meant both baptism, Holy Ghost and water baptism, and the red having to do with the blood, the fire baptism. So then when we see this, we know that there is a reason why God raised up a prophet like unto Moses, saying that it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And so then we see that when Jesus comes, they emphasize the name. Jerusalem first, the name, salvation, remission of sin, then to the uttermost parts of the world. Why is that? Because it is the Father's name. I have come in my Father's name, and there's salvation in no other name except the name of my Father. So you're told in Matthew's that you're to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And Jesus said, that's the name that I've come in. Father, I have kept them in thy name. He said, if I'd have come in another name, you would receive me, but I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. But he said, there's remission of sin, that is the right or dead, in none other name except the name of the Father, which is the name Jesus. And the Son being born, his name shall be called Jesus. And the Bible said, when the Holy Ghost comes, which is the Spirit of Christ, he will come in my name, the name Jesus. So it's very obvious that what God was saying through the Son of God in Matthew 28 was to go baptize in the name of Jesus for remission of sin. And I say again, there's no other place in the Bible where they baptize any other way unless it's as Moses or under repentance, as it was John saying, believe on the name which is coming after. And at the upper coast of Ephesus, 19th chapter of Acts, they did receive the name and the Holy Ghost came, which was the Spirit of Christ, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ and he won't come in any other name except the name to which he belongs. He is the Jesus Spirit. So then it's just like your spirit, it will be your spirit, your name. And as the law says, if you call a name, you bring the person present. You can say something against them, slander somebody, and you can be in trouble with the law. So it brings Christ present. Two or three gathered together in my name, there am I present, or there am I in the midst of them. So I said all that to get around to these thoughts. Three, we have to be born again. We must be born again. Though remission of sin is by the shedding of the blood and only the blood of Jesus, yet I am heir to that through the name. So beginning at Jerusalem, salvation and remission of sin shall be preached through the name. And it says remission of sin shall be preached through the name. Though the blood is for the remission, and by the blood sin is remitted, and all of the sins of the world are gone by the blood. The Bible said in Jesus Christ died to take away all the sins of the world. But why isn't everybody saved? Why isn't all the world saved? If he took away all their sins, why aren't they saved? Oh, you say, well, they don't call on the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, they do call on the name of Jesus. The Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal, all of them call on the name of Jesus. Is that right? They all call on the name of Jesus. But why aren't they saved? And the blood, the Bible said, was shed. And Jesus took away the sins of all the world. That's why they can frolic and do like they're doing now and get by with it. That's why they can go ahead and be blessed. If it wasn't for that, the earth would open up as in the days of Moses and swallow them up. See, but the rain is on the just and the unjust. And the water is on the tare and on the wheat. Why? Because the blood is on the seat of atonement. That's what I teach you all the time. So then why is it they're not saved? They call on the name of Jesus. But the Bible says, though it says it shall come to pass that everyone that calleth upon the name of Jesus shall be saved, it also says that everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall not be saved. You can say Jesus all you want to.
And like Esau, he sought repentance with bitter tears, but he didn't find any. His birthright was gone. See, that's why they're not saved. Even before God even comes on the scene to gather the church, he's already told us that this was given us in Christ before the world ever was, as elect unto God, by foreknowledge. And that many hundreds and thousands and millions of people will never receive this nor understand this. They are predestinated unto a lost, an eternal loss. As many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believe when Paul preached remission of sin in the name of Jesus. The apostles preached two things. They preached the kingdom of God and the entrance into that kingdom through the name of Jesus. That you could get in through the name, and said if anybody went in any other way to get into this religious atmosphere of today, as to the blood on the seat of atonement, to be protected by the blood, that there would come a time when they would be bound hand and feet and cast out into the outer intellectual darkness of that world of ignorance and be forever bound in that thing. So, you must be born again, Nicodemus, lest a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. I believe in the water. I believe that I must be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin in water, and so I was. I believe that you must do that, and so you will if you're going to please God. For even though the Holy Ghost comes, He'll guide you into all truth, all righteousness. Though the Spirit of Christ comes to you, it will guide you into baptism in Jesus' name as a dead body being buried in a watery grave. Because of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that took away your sins. So then we have a death, we have a burial, and then it can be a true resurrection. But if there is no death, then there's no burial. If there's no burial, then there's not a true resurrection. So then we are dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus, and the world is dead to us by the body of the Lord Jesus, and our sins are gone away, because I say again, the rending of the veil is the circumcision of taking the flesh away from the spirit, and the flesh is buried into the earth. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And then the spiritual man comes out as the quickening spirit, the second man, Christ Jesus. The first man, Adam, the dust is buried, and the second man, Jesus, the quickening spirit, comes out, and the first man, Adam, was born into this world and lives in this world. The second man comes out of the water. He's in another world. He's in the spiritual world. He's in this world that we call the heavens or the kingdom of God. So then, being in this world, the second man, Adam, is the quickening spirit that came up from the water. He is an angelic being. He is in this world, and he is now bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh of Jesus. That is, of God Almighty, God the Word being made flesh. We're now the body of God, the spirit body, the spirit world. Paul said there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. I know that we don't with the redemption. At this point, I know that we don't enjoy the redemption of the body at this point. People don't see the redeemed body at this point. But the Bible said when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, for the dead in Christ shall rise first to show the resurrection. And then we which are alive will follow immediately and be changed. But not until the resurrection. You got to come out of the water. You got to come out of the grave. When those people come out of the grave, then it will indicate you and I that are still here are to be changed into, or hath been changed into, the new body. So then the Bible said, ye shall not excel the dead in Christ, for they shall rise first. And then ye which are alive and remain shall be changed into the wonderful image of God. For we shall see him as he is, and we shall be changed into his very image. Everyone that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. And the Bible said, looking to this and having this hope within us, we shall see him as he is and be changed into his very glorious image at his coming. So then it's very obvious that we've got to be born again. The child born of the water, the blood, and the spirit. You must be born of the water, the blood, and the spirit. You've got to be born again. So Jesus said, unless you drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. He said, unless you can eat of my flesh, you don't have any life within you. And it's for sure that if you don't have his spirit, you don't have any life in you. So hundreds and millions of people can call on the name of Jesus. They do say, Lord, Lord. They do say, Jesus, Jesus. But the Bible said, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And I refer back to this book so many times. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Every line, every jot, every tittle. And not one bit of it will pass away, he said, till all be fulfilled. And they were told that if they transgress one little thing in the Bible, he said, or that is of the law, said, you're guilty of the transgression of all of it. So then all must be fulfilled. If I today could transgress one little thing, if I today could cross God in one tiny little jot or tittle, I would be forever doomed. If you can, or if you do, cross God and his word and his way of life in one tiny little jot or tittle, you are eternally damned and doomed. Don't matter if you're Pentecostal. Don't matter if you profess the Holy Ghost. Don't matter if you speak in tongues. It don't matter what church you belong to. If you transgress one tiny little jot or tittle, you are eternally doomed and damned. You are guilty of all. This is why it was necessary for God to let us be born again and choose us in Christ by the blood of his Son and perfect us forever, seal us forever to where the evil one can never touch us, that we are people who never at any time make one tiny mistake as to transgressing God's word. Never at any time. The evil one never touches us. You stumble, you stagger, you blunder a lot of times in your effort. But the difference is, it is not charged against you. The Bible said, and God being with us, God in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered, whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputes faith for righteousness without works. So then we see that we are justified by the grace of God freely through faith by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his faith in the Heavenly Father. So we are without sin altogether. We're without transgression altogether. We cannot transgress. We have passed from death unto life, and we cannot die, and we cannot transgress because transgression of the law is sin. We cannot transgress the law. We're altogether dead to the law by the body of Jesus. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there's no death, because the sting of death is sin and transgression of the law is sin. So then there is no transgression, there's no death, there's no sin. And you and I are sealed eternally forever because we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, been baptized in his name for the remission of sin, and our sins have been remitted and have been taken away. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, speaking to the preacher, whosoever sins you, remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you, retained shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. If you bless, I will bless. If you curse, I will curse. You're the minister of God set there as a revenger to execute judgment upon them that do evil. If you execute that judgment, then I'll bring the judgment. But you're also set there to bless them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that's willing to walk in the righteousness of God. Remember, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. But see, the Bible said in the book of John that if we come and confess our sins, God is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So then, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm made clean of all unrighteousness. I'm made free from all sin and death. And today, I am one with him. I am in his love. I am in his leadership. I'm following him, as the song said, following Jesus. All of the way. There's a lot of things I'd like to say, and a few more things here I'd like to say in closing out. He that believeth, do you believe? Let me see your hand if you believe. Jesus said, he that believeth. So you believe in the word. All right, that's your first step. He that believeth. Believeth in what? Now, right there, That's where people get misconstrued or misput. He that believeth. All right, now I say I believe. You say you believe. Brother Taylor, you believe. But what do you believe in? What good is believing? I say, okay, what do you believe? This brother says, well, I believe that I can go to heaven. I say, well, what do you believe over here? Well, he says, I believe I'm already in heaven. And this brother over here said, well, what do you believe? Well, I don't believe there is a heaven. So see, all of you are believers. Isn't that right? Now, one says, well, I believe in horse racing. What do you believe in? I believe in boxing and wrestling. What do you believe in? I believe in making money. I believe in family security. So see, you believe. You raised your hand. You said, I believe. But what do you believe in? So you see, believing has nothing to do with it, beloved friend. It is what you believe in. So your second step, you say, I believe. I say, well, what do you believe? You say, well, I believe in the Word. I say, all right. Now, we're on trail right here. I believe in the Word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. I said, well, wait a minute, brother. Do you really believe in the Word? I believe in the Word. I say, can you prove it? Can you prove it? If you really believe in the Word, that is faith. And by the grace of God, through faith, you're saved. He justifies you by faith. I say, you believe. I believe in the Word. I say, all right. What does the Word say? We've took our second step now. We believe. What do we believe in? We believe in the Word. We've got that far down the trail. Now, we believe in the Word. All right, now we believe in the Word. That's the second step. What does the Word say? The Word said, repent, Bethlehemites. Repent, every one of you that's listening to Brother Pike. Repent, every one of you that hears the gospel. Repent, every one of you. You did that. You say, well, I repented. Repent. Believe on the name of Jesus. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are saved. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people believed and repented. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin. And they were added to the church. And that was the first church. And that was the only church. And there's no record of another church. And from that time on, everyone had to do the same thing. Because the Bible said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. Come on, folks. What did he say to the one? He said, Peter, here are the keys. Peter opened it to the Gentiles and to the Jews. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, he was talking to the Jews because they had rejected Jesus. But when he went down to Cornelius's, he was talking to the Gentiles. And he still gave the same formula. He still said they had to have the same Holy Ghost. He said they had to do the same thing. What he said to one, he said to all. And beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, remission for sin shall be taught in his name. And the Bible said you are baptized for the remission of sin. For the remission is by the blood. And there is no remission without the blood. But for that to be applied to you, you are baptized for that remission. And somebody has to do the baptizing. And that is the one that God authorized when he said, whosoever sins you remit. Speaking of the preacher. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit. So then that is the way it is put together. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive my Spirit, Jesus said. You can have my Spirit. You can have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Christ the Spirit, will come into your heart, into my heart, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as was said to Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. And that's why that same Paul said, it shall come to pass, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Following the system, following God's way for a new birth. Nicodemus, you must be born again. He that believeth and is baptized, or you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. He said, you must be born again. If you get into that world, you're going to have to be born into it. The law and the prophets, so John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. It's at hand, and men press their way into it. And the way they get into it is by faith in the name of Jesus, or having been translated into it by faith in God. And God, the name is given, the Father's name. God, who is God? Somebody said, oh, don't say Jesus is God. It said, I come in my Father's name. What is the name of the Father? Who is the Father? He is God. He's the eternal Spirit. For God is a spirit. So I come in the Spirit's name. What is that name?
Jesus.
There ain't no other God but Jesus. So that's Jesus. And he said to the Son, because you've kept them in my name, I will give you a name that nobody else knows but you, and to whomsoever you give it. And no doubt that has to do with the bride. He isn't going to give it to anybody, most likely. He won't give that to anybody except his family, of whom the whole family is named in heaven and in earth, even Jesus. I want you to stand with me so you can see how much heresy is in the world, how easily that people misconstrue things, and how easily they would turn you away from the name of Jesus and redemption and remission. There is no remission, no remission for sin. Salvation, there is no name. No matter how important the person, celebrity, whatever, you can call it Father, you can call it Holy Ghost, you can call it Son, but there's no remission in those words or titles or applications. There is remission in the Father's name, which is Jesus. There's remission of sin in none other name. It's preached among the Jews in Jerusalem, and they'll have to come to it. And if you don't believe that, if you think God's going to save them without coming to the name, go over there and read in the book of Revelation, and you'll find out that they had to receive the seal of his name in their head before they could come in. All people, no respect of person, all of them's got to come through the name Jesus. He appears with the nails in his hand, and they have to accept him as the Messiah. Since they rejected him, they've been out of the presence of God. When they accept him, just like the Gentiles, they will be in the presence of God. And it won't be until they do accept the Messiah. So what should we do, brethren? One faith. Just one doctrine. They all abode. They didn't just start the doctrine of the apostles, but it said that they abode within the doctrines of the apostles. All of them spoke the same thing. Philip preached the infilling of the Spirit and baptism in Jesus' name. That's Bible. Down at Cornelius, Peter preached the infilling of the Spirit and baptizing in Jesus' name. Paul preached up the coast of Ephesus, 19th chapter of Acts. He preached the infilling of the Spirit, baptism in Jesus' name. When the apostles, as to the 12 or the 11, went away after they were told in Matthew's to baptize in the name, they went right straight to the upper room. They were filled with the Spirit. They stood up and they preached on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Spirit and remission of sin by baptism in Jesus' name. So there's no misunderstanding. It's just people thinking themselves to be something when they're nothing. It's people, as the Bible said, and God has hid this from the wise and the prudent, and made it revelation unto babes that are willing to learn, those that want to be obedient. But they've gone to college and they've gone to some teachings of some professor, and they've got it in their mind that they've studied the Bible and the Pauline epistles, and they have studied the different things, you know, of the Bible, and now they're very smart, and they've learned that all this other's foolishness, and you don't have to do it that way, but you can just conveniently sit in your den and drink your beer and call on the name of Jesus and tell people how blessed he is to let you drink beer and to drink your whiskey. And somebody would say, you're eccentric, Brother Pike. There ain't no such a thing. There never will be. I beg your pardon. He is blessed. He does let them drink their beer, and he does let them drink their whiskey. And somebody says, and you mean bless them at the same time? The Bible emphatically states the rain comes on the unjust as well as the just. They sit there and they drink their whiskey, they bubble in their beer, and they're still blessed. Still blessed. Why? Because the blood is on the seat of atonement and the rain is coming down on the unjust. But God is angry with them every day. They have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, doing their own thing, and the blessing that they get is not because God wants them blessed, he wants them destroyed, but because God has to send that down on the human body without respect of person until we all come to the knowledge of the truth to where the church can be changed, then they get blessed of God. They're all blessed of God. But folks, that don't mean they're not going to hell. And people in Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, it doesn't matter what kind of church you in. You may shout your shoe heels off, or you may speak in tongues, you may dance, you may do anything that you want to do, because the rain is pouring down on you. But you, if you are not repenting of your sins and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and being filled with God's Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, He said, you're none of mine, you're going to die and go to hell. God's going to cut you off. Let's sing a little chorus together. That's the way it is, folks. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now you say, well, I believe he meant baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. Great. I feel like you've got to have it. So I believe that you've got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. But see, they teach that you don't have to. Pentecostal churches, many of them teach that you don't have to. So what do? You cross swords with them to start with. Somebody said, well, I believe that he meant you had to be baptized in water in Jesus' name. A lot of them don't believe that. They don't believe you have to be baptized in water, period. But I believe that. See, so I believe both of them. You know why? Because like I said, when he said be baptized, then he's got to mean one of them, that's for sure. But the other one that I know brings in waters when he went down to the muddy river and he said, I'm your example, follow my steps. Or that's what the preacher said. He was my example. So that takes care of the other end of it, just in the event that you want to call one thing or one another. I believe that we should do exactly what he tells us. My full, firm conviction of my faith in my confession, and I don't believe there's any faith without that, is God gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, gave the apostles the commission, put them over there before Paul ever come on the scene to the Gentiles, and put them over there, and Peter opened the door so Paul could come, open it to the Gentiles, and put those foundations over there, and called it the foundations of New Jerusalem, saying, other foundations, Paul said, that no man can lay except these foundations. As to the 12 apostolic leaders, it was found over there in the new city. Said, if any other man try to lay a foundation, he's in trouble. And if you build anything on these foundations, as the hay and stubble, that's what he called your thoughts and your doings, said, I'll burn it up. You've got to build with the Word. Come and let us reason together. That is, let me and the Word reason together. And I believe because Peter had the keys, and there was the foundation, and the Lord had just commissioned them to go to set up the first church, and they set up the first church with 3,000 baptized in His name. And because Peter said, repent every one of you, and because it said unto you and them to the uttermost parts of the earth, as many as the Lord our God shall call, I believe that that is the Bible. And faith cometh by the hearing of the Bible, the Word. That is the Word. Not Bible in that it means a collection of books as the 66 books, but Bible in the sense that we're saying God's Word. God's Word. Whether it's in the Bible or in the Bible. God's Word. The Bible said the Word of the Lord came into the prophets before the Bible was ever written. Or the collection of the canon, as they call it. The true canon ever came. So, believing in the Word of God, there's but one God, one faith. I brought this out the other day, preaching, I believe it was in Indiana, with a Trinitarian thing of teaching three gods. You say, there's not three gods. Oh, there's more than that. The world's full of them. God's many, Paul said. Well, he said, well, there ain't three true gods. Oh, yes, there's a number of gods. You're a god, he's a god, they're a god, we're a god. But to us, there is but one God. That is the God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. And that God is the Lord Jesus Christ. One God, one faith, one baptism. Not two or three baptisms. And the word in the Hebrew as pertaining to the God is Adonai Shaddai, which has nothing to do with three at all. Not at all. So they misconstrue it when they bring it over. And even to the King James teaching, when they bring those things about. So, people get misconstrued. We've got one God. Three tabernacles, it's made real clear. Moses, one. Elijah, one. Jesus, one. Said, no, one tabernacle. I'm pleased to dwell in Him. The fullness of God was in Jesus. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is no other body of God. God is a spirit. He has one body. That is just like you. You are a spiritual being. You haven't got a half a dozen bodies. You've got one body. That's your image. Jesus is the image of God. The Bible said He is the express image of God. The Heavenly Father dwells in Jesus. And that is called the Holy Spirit. Because the interwovenness of God with human flesh, as the Word making it flesh, brings the Holy Spirit as that within the body, Him having made twain in His body, both the Lord and Christ. So it brings on the Son as to that image, and it brings on the Holy Spirit as to His Spirit, and it brings on the Heavenly Father as the interwoven righteousness of that which dwells in the temple. God, the eternal Spirit, with the Spirit of His Son, in the body of flesh. And that name was put right on down from the Spirit, right on down to the body, and said, Jesus, the Heavenly Father's name, our God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Have I been with you so long, Thomas, and you've not known me? I want to see God, he said. I want to see the Father. Have I been with you so long and you've not known me, Thomas? They'd have seen me have seen the Father. Because there's no other way to see the Father except through Him. How could you see the Spirit? You can't see Him. He's the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. Never at any time have they seen Him, nor can they see Him. And there's not going to be somebody sitting up there on the throne. When you get there, there's one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, I believe it's going to be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost sitting here, Brother Pike. Three gods. It'll be Moses. It'll be Jesus. It'll be Elijah. That's what it'll be. One God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing the chorus together, can we? Sing, I love Him again.
I love Him. I love Him all because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Can you sing it again?
I love Him. I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me. And He my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Sometimes I might take a little longer than you feel that I ought to take. It might seem a little more extensive to you than necessary. You say, well, He could tell us some today and some tomorrow. But the thing is, when a tape goes out, it may go out to Indiana. It may go out to Montana. It may go out to any place. And they may not get any more tapes for a long time. I may not get any more tapes, period. And I have to kind of clarify things as to an ultimatum in that discussion to where they will be able to understand and not leave them in a state of confusion. And that's why that we take a few minutes to try to explain. And it's good for you, too. It's good for you. Some of you listen so sporadically and half listen until it's good for you to be able to hear these things through. And it's good that we have a tape because some of you still half listen and to where you can go back and refer to the tape. Or they take these off and put them in books. And it's good for you to be able to have a book. And of course, these books go into all the world. You love the Lord? How do you believe what I'm preaching? Let me see your hand. Okay, how are you going to preach the same thing? We're going to speak the same thing. All right. Some of you are. Let's sing another chorus.
Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Sing it with me now. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in this book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room down at the cross. Can you sing it with me? The altars are open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Glad to have Collins and the wife with us tonight. It's good to see them back in service. That's the way to start off right. Come right back to the service. If you want to have a happy home, take Jesus. Always take Jesus. There is no happiness without Jesus. Take Jesus, and then you'll be happy. You love Jesus? Let's sing this little chorus, Sweep Over My Soul.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Or I've anchored my soul in God's haven, powerless, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
Sing it again now.
For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest.
the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee every day. I need Thee. I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. Don't turn Him away. Oh, don't turn Him away. For He has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let Him in to stay. Oh, how you'll need Him just to please your calls on that eternal day. Oh, listen to the Savior and hear His sweet voice, and don't turn Him away.
Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. We're always grateful for every service. Always grateful to see the different ones that come down to the altar for time, from time to time, receiving a refreshing from God and receiving a little encouragement. A little encouragement. Like the song we sang, you know, going back to the chapel. I'm going back to the chapel. It's when you return to the chapel and you're able to lift your hands up, lift your heart up, that's when you begin to find something. I'm going back to the chapel there to take hold of His hand. Those hands that showed me mercy when I was wrong as wrong could be, they still showed me mercy. And had they given me justice, I'd have been lost. Lost out on life's sea. For I was lost there in the shuffle. But the writer said, He come and found me. Put His arms around me. The writer said, and I was the sheep that had wandered astray. I was the sheep that was lost. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to close your eyes. And I want us to sing this little chorus together. This is a job that we're all supposed to do. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. And we'll turn rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing. Can you sing it one more time? We're
We're bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
One more time.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Oh, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
You ever been a little country boy or girl and got into the field? You ever work real hard? The end of the day, oh, how you rejoice. You're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Let's sing it like this now. Bringing in the sheep. If you was a shepherd boy, you know.
We're bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep, we're bringing in the sheep, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we're bringing in the sheep, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep.
Let's lift our hands again. Ask Mother Cobbs, if he will, to come up and ask him to pray with us tonight. Don't forget to pray for Brother Sister Londebo. Pray for me. Pray for Brother Sister Kirk. And all the others that are laboring wherever in the vineyard of God, that they can bring in the sheaves. That all loyalty and all fidelity will accompany their lives to where they can stretch out in other parts of the world to be a part of our brotherhood and build us a lovely umbrella that will cover us from the iniquities and sins of the world and the evils of Satan. The Bible said when he comes in like a flood, the enemy that is, I'll lift up a standard against him. And that standard is godliness and holiness. So, pray that they'll be faithful and that we'll be faithful. All of us will work together. And who knows, you may be next to be sent out into the vineyard. All of us must labor for Christ, whether we're here on the home front or whether we're in another place. And beloved friend, if we don't do it, then we don't have any reward. Let's watch and let's pray. The attack that came the other night on Robin in her room, I had just told them before that. I gave the description of what was to happen exactly like the Lord told me. I said, you better watch. I said, warn them. Tell them to watch. It came to pass. And on the very night of that, the Lord told me that somebody showed me in a vision that somebody was walking in my room and that I should get up immediately. And I did. And I searched and searched. I felt like there wasn't anybody in my room. I said, Lord, you must be telling me that some of my spiritual children, natural children, or some of them, you must be telling me that there's somebody that has entered into their room and they're in their house, because God wouldn't leave me. He just kept talking to me. And sure enough, man held the knife to the throat, made the attack, and only the mercy of God, maybe through my prayers, maybe through your prayers, or whatever, gave the protection and warded off the evil. It was just the hand of God that did it. So, you remember this. Jesus said, watch, pray, stay close to the home front. Stay close to the sheep. Stay close to the shepherd. And remember this, you may be sent out to do work like the Londebos and like the Kirks. And they're not going to have the convenience of the campground. And they're not going to be there with the brothers and sisters. They're going to have to build something on that end to pull them in close together in fellowship to help protect the sheep from the wolf. On that end. So who knows where you'll be sent or whether or not you will be sent. You can be called upon any time. Like the prophet said, "Here am I, send me." Are you available? Are you available? Not ability or creditability, but as the little sign said, availability. So while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask our brother to come and pray with you. And as he comes to pray, remember what I told you. If you want to be free from corruption, then the Bible said, shun the very thoughts. It starts with your thoughts, the eyes of your understanding, leaning to your own understanding, casting down imagination, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, even the mind of Christ. If you want to escape the corruption and pollution that is in the world, then let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but didn't try to find a reputation. He just humbled himself as to submission of death, conformity unto the will and the way of the Lord, doing always the things that please the Heavenly Father, as Enoch did, and washed the feet of his disciples in humility to leave us an example, going down to the muddy river to be baptized and following my steps. So tonight, you've got your example. You can do what someone tells you. You can do what you think. You can reason in your own mind. Come up short in the day of judgment. Or you can go on, as Paul said, to a full reward and cover the entire scope. So my advice to you is one way. Repentance. Remission of sin. The first church took it. What I've said unto one, I say unto all. He said it to the first church. This is still the first and only church. And I'm saying to repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you might receive the wonderful Holy Ghost, that it might guide you into all truth and all righteousness, and in that this is a command of the Bible, and we're saved by faith of the Word. This is what the Word says, and to believe it, we have to do it, and to do it, the child is known by that doings, then we receive it into our heart and life, and it's made effective in our life because we did it. It is the proof of faith in the Word, and by that Word we are saved. That is by grace through faith. For it's by grace through faith that you are saved, and not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God through the remission of sin, through the name of Jesus Christ, our lovely Savior. Don't try to get in any other way, and go on to perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance over and over, of the dead works and faith toward God. Go on to perfection, to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect, the full measure, the full stature of that perfect man, Christ Jesus, under which you are ordained.